A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chagiga Daf Chaf, Chagiga 20a, pagination is 39. Dealing with cases of Taira purity, ritual purity. And we have a principle that a person needs to have in mind before he proceeds that he or she intends to do it in purity, because we're worried that if they don't intend it that way, then something could happen, and in retrospect, when they think back, they don't recall the incident that might have made it impure, something came in contact with it, because at the time, it was not considered relevant. And therefore, we want people to be on alert as they're working, what's considered relevant, so that they pay attention. This is true by hashgacha. If you ask afterwards, did anybody do such and such? So they don't recall that anybody did such and such, and everything's fine. But if, as they are supervising, they are aware this is what to look out for, then they will notice these types of things. This has far-reaching ramifications. There's a Gemara in Shavuos, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that describes a case where a person was told, you borrowed money from me. And he says, no, I didn't. And they say to him, you borrowed the money from me behind this building, behind this pillar. And the person says, I never was behind that building. I never was behind that pillar in my life. And so far, we have a stalemate. He's saying, you borrowed money from me. The other one is saying, I never borrowed money from you. And then witnesses come and say, we don't know if he borrowed money or not, but we do know that he was behind that building or behind that pillar because he used it to relieve himself. He used that location, perhaps one night, we know that he used it as a bathroom. And that's pretty dramatic because then the denier of the loan has been proven a liar. And the Gemara says that that testimony alone will not prove that he's a liar. Because there's a principle, Kol milsa delo ramya alei de'inish ovid la velava daite. Anything that at the time it happens, the person does not think it's significant, he'll do it and he'll forget about it. And the fact that he denied ever being there, and it turns out that he was there, but for something that at the time was not considered relevant information. He never knew that someone would come to him and claim that he borrowed money behind that building, so that he should store in his mind that he was there once, so he should know what to say and what not to say in his denial. So that's not considered significant. And this is common, that things can happen and a person doesn't realize that what's happening significantly alters the question at hand. That's, by the way, why it's brought that a Rav, when he paskins a Shaila, should try to the extent he can to verify information, to kind of quiz the questioner, because there may be things that are very relevant that may be cause for leniency or stringency, which the person themselves, not being educated in that particular topic, is unaware that they should mention. Likewise, in the outgoing, after you give the ruling, it's sometimes important to make it clear to the questioner that the ruling that's being given, lenient or stringent, is based on the particular situation as it was described, the nuances that were described, so that they don't think that other things are not relevant. It's a open shut case. On the contrary, there may be other information which has to be mentioned because it's important. Our Gemara cites two such examples in which the person was not aware at the time that she was crafting the garment that she wanted it to be tahora, made in purity. But afterwards, she looks back and says, you know, I don't recall anything that would make it non-kosher. I don't recall anything. And it sounds too good to be true. It sounds great. But if at the time that it was being made, the person wasn't paying attention, things could happen which don't get stored in their memory because they didn't think they were relevant. The Gemara can be found about 20 lines up from the wide at the end of a line. Maisa be'isha achas, there was a story of a certain woman, Shabos lefnei Rabbi Yishmael, that came in front of Rabbi Yishmael with a question. Ve'omro lo, she said as follows, Rebbe, my teacher, beged ze eragtiv betaira, I made this garment, I wove it in purity. It's tahor, it's kosher. And it could therefore be used with high-level purity items. V'lohaya belibi l'shomra betaira, but at the time that I was making it, I didn't pay attention. Umitoch bedika shahaya Rabbi Yishmael botka, but through the quiz that Rabbi Yishmael put her through, Amra lo, she ended up saying, Rebbe, nida mashcha imi bechevel. There was indeed, during the time that I made it, a nida, a woman who's impure, who still has to go to mikveh, and she did not yet go, and she helped me with one of the ropes. So it could be that she ended up coming in contact or heset with the item, and while I was making it, I didn't pay attention. I didn't think it was relevant because I did not intend it to be tahora at the time that I was making it. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael's exclamation was, Kama gedolim divrei chachamim, how great are the words of the sages, shayu omrim, that they said, belibo l'shomro tahor, only if a person, when they were making it, paid attention to make it tahor, then you could consider it tahor. But if the person wasn't paying attention to make it tahar at the time, then it's tameh, even if in retrospect they can't remember anything that would make it tameh. And again, one can imagine what we can extrapolate regarding, let's say, the word laws of kosher. Person says, I don't recall doing anything not kosher with it. I don't recall using the non-kosher spoon. But if at the time you were making it, you didn't intend it to be kosher, so we can wonder how much you should rely on such a statement. It's a human nature that if the person at the time they were doing it didn't think it was relevant, they perhaps did not pay attention. Shuv Maisa Beisha Achas, another story happened. Shabbos lefnei Rabbi Yishmael, a woman came in front of Rabbi Yishmael. Omra lo, she said, Rabbi Mapa ze aragtia betaira, I wove it when I was tahor. V'lohaya belibi l'shomra, but I didn't have any conscious intent to make sure that it's tahor. Umitoch bedika shayi Rabbi Yishmael botka, but through the quiz that Rabbi Yishmael imposed upon her, Omra lo, she ended up saying, Rabbi nima nifsikali, there was a strand while it was still in the thread stage, a thread ripped, v'kishartia bepeh, and I tied it in a way that involved my mouth. She slipped the thread through her mouth, perhaps to make it wet or whatever, in order to tie it better. And at that time, she was a nida. She wove it when she was tahar. She remembers that she went to mikveh and then she started weaving. But this activity which she did while it was still thread, she was a nidor at that time. Now, the thread itself is not a garment and it's not going to become tamei. But, Rashi explains, they were worried that some of the saliva was still on the thread at the time that she wove it. And if so, the saliva of the nida, even though she herself is no longer a nida, she went to mikvah, but the saliva was emitted from a nida at that time. The saliva has a level of tuma, and once the thread becomes a garment, the garment will acquire tuma from the saliva if the saliva is still wet. And again, Rabbi Yishmael said, because at the time you weren't paying attention, we can't guarantee that after you went to mikvah and came back to weave the garment, that the saliva was not still wet, and it could be that it made your garment tamei. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Kama gedolim divrei chachamim, how great are the words of the sages, shayu omrim, they said, Beliba l'shamro tahar, if when you went in, you paid attention to keep it tahar, then it's tahar. Ein beliba l'shamro tamei, but if you did not pay attention to make it tahar, we have to consider it tamei, because we don't have that attention being paid to its status throughout the procedure. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.